onto this computer recording. All right, everybody. My name is Todd Adams. I'm with Zen Parenting Radio. Jennifer can mute and unmute anyone on her end. I think
that's why you have to set it up where we're the only ones.
I thought I did, sweetie.
Right. Well, I thought you just said you do it both ways.
Well, that's the mute thing. The mute is different than who's the facilitator of the meeting. Doesn't matter. So Jennifer, can you see if you can grant me facilitator access or whatever it is? I don't know how to do that. I'm going to pause the Zoom recording. All right, we're back and we're running late. So sorry about that. Happy Friday. Sweetie, say hi to everybody.
Hey, everybody.
It is Friday, May 24th. And we have a Zen talk and I have no questions. So while you guys are ready to formulate your questions, I want to tell you one nugget and then one quick story, unless somebody has a question beforehand. First, I want to go to Dawn real quick, just for kicks. Hey, Dawn, are you there?
Hi.
Did you have a micro community talk recently or was that Anita?
This coming Monday. I think Anita had it, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So first of all, just for those of you guys who don't know, Dawn, can you just say what your micro community is so everybody can know what it is?
Sure. It's for parents of differently wired children. And our next call is Monday, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, and so on. You can do a calculator.
Awesome. So thank you for saying that. And then if you want to be a part of that and you have a differently wired kid, just shoot me an email and I'll get you hooked up with Dawn. So I'm going to mute Dawn. And then real quickly, Anita, how was your call? It was your first one. So I know the first one is never easy, but how did it go?
It was great. It was great. There were three people, so it was very manageable.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great chat. We had a great talk and I recorded it. I sent it out to the group and just going to keep going with it, flowing with it. It was really helpful. It was just lovely to feel like you're just chatting with people in a friendly way and supporting. And I loved it. I really thank you for the opportunity that you're like giving us that little platform and that little opportunity and the trust. So thank you.
Awesome. And can you remind us what your micro community is? Like who, if somebody's interested, what they would be interested in?
Yeah, it's for parents of teens and tweens. So anywhere from, I think we have people as young as children with who are 8 years old up to 14, 15 and beyond. So it's a wide ranging group and I've got 14 names. So we'll see how it goes.
Awesome. And do you have another one planned?
Not yet. It was just 2 days ago. So that's to be continued.
Awesome. Okay, sweet. So I'm going to mute you. And then once again, I don't know if anybody is brand new on this. Most of the faces I see are familiar, but if you're new and you want to ask a question or seek out some support, just put it in the chat box if you know how to do that, or you can just raise your hand. Like I said, I asked people for questions and they usually come in, but for whatever reason, maybe it's a busy week for everybody. Nobody really had any questions or things they wanted to focus on. So first I'm going to share a quick resource. I bought a beanbag game. First of all, Helen wants to know how you're feeling, Kathy.
I feel good. I'm tired, but I'm good. Like I no headache or anything. I feel real good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Why are you tired?
I feel healthy.
Oh, did you go out last night?
I did. I mean, I was out until like 11:30 and that's too late for me. So I'm a little tired and I just went to yoga and I'm just tired.
Sweetie's a little cansado.
My creative abilities are less than, but they'll come up.
Before I get into my awesome anecdote about me buying a beanbag game for my daughter.
I can't wait. I'm curious where this is going.
It's going to be awesome. But first, because Dawn has a question, I want to go to her first. Dawn, are you there?
Yes.
And you have a friend with you. Who's your friend?
This is my friend, Shirley. Hi. She's my neighbor.
Hi. Welcome to the team. Mm-hmm. Glad to see you.
Thank you. I greatly enjoy your podcast.
Oh, thank you.
That's nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
what do you got, Dawn?
My question is, I listened I, you know, everybody talks about Brené Brown. I've heard about her books. And the first one, I just listened to my first one. It was The Gifts of Imperfect Parenting. And it was wonderful. I found myself getting triggered by something she was talking about. And it's been a long time since that sort of happened to me. And I was a little spun out by it because A, I wasn't expecting it from Brené Brown, but it wasn't her. It was my past. It was just what she was talking about. It was if anyone's familiar with the book, so I'm just kind of curious if you can help me figure out why I was feeling this way, but the section on boundaries with kids, I don't know. She's from the South and my family's from Texas. She's from Texas. I'm sort of going through a questioning, you know, like Debbie Reber says, question everything you knew about parenting. And that's sort of where I am right now. And I'm also reading Dr. Russ Green's work, The Explosive Child. And he talks so much about being collaborative with children, which is not at all the way that I was raised. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons why I got triggered was, do you know like when lens change, you know, when you put like a new pair of lenses on and you see things differently, I see what Russ Green calls plan A, meaning imposition of adult will and not bringing in another person's perspective and just saying, this is the way it's going to be. I see it everywhere. And that's how I was raised. And and the idea of being different is really exciting to me. But I when she was talking about boundaries and setting boundaries with your kids, and you know, in our house we do blah blah blah, and I was getting triggered by all these like black and white, you know, whatever. And I'm like, these are great things. These are great things to do, but do you ever, like when you're learning about something new, you kind of swing the pendulum the other way? And I feel like, is that where I am? Like I'm so allergic to the plan A type, meaning the overbearing. I don't know if I'm even making sense, but.
So Kathy's going to answer, but first I just want to get you to qualify yourself a little bit. So what I want to give you permission to inflate your reaction to Brené. So Brené talks about boundaries, and just for kicks, like let's say you had two glasses of wine and you want to say, this is why she's wrong, or this is why I got triggered. Honestly, like, can you just give me a little bit more information on what it is that there's a disconnect with?
That's really helpful, actually. I would say you sound like my mom. You sound like the way that I was raised. I felt like I was just introduced to a concept that was different, and then I was hearing the same old again. Mm. And I was like, no. So I don't know. It took me by surprise that I felt that strongly, that I feel kind of out of control about it. I don't know. It was just an uncomfortable thing. And I know you're supposed to take notice when you feel those sorts of things. So, I don't know. I guess that maybe that has something to do. Maybe that says a lot about the work that I need to do on myself in helping before I help my kids with this, because I don't know if that's making sense, but
it does. It makes total sense to me. And I know that book very well. I use it in my class and we talk about all the things. And I think that I won't even focus specifically on Brené Brown. I'll just focus on when you're learning a new idea.
Yeah.
In answer to the question, is it just that my pendulum is going back and forth? And I would say absolutely yes. And that when you are learning about self-awareness, what you realize is everything contradicts each other and that everything is paradoxical and that you are not going to find an idea that is black and white, clear, this is my direction, this is how I'm going to do it. It doesn't exist. And I'm not saying that to make you go, oh shit, you know, it's not about, it's not about stressing you out. It's about relieving you of that pressure to think that there is a model to follow. What there is what you just experienced is there are feelings to follow. And when you are reading someone like Brené Brown's book and you read one chapter and you go, oh boy, that was really good. That made me feel so good. And then you read the next chapter and it doesn't make you feel good. It doesn't mean you were wrong about the second chapter. It means that everything has, it's not about, just like you said, it's not about her. It's not about the book. It's not that you have to identify with everything Brené Brown says, because I would even say that Brené Brown wrote The Gifts of Imperfection like 7, 8, 9 years ago. I would tell you that even her books now are completely different from that, the way that she writes. I'm saying that because she is even evolving through what she would call boundaries, as are you, and you don't have to be aligned with her. But it's like part of the reason I never read my first book, because it makes me cringe, because I believed that then. And there's nothing in it that's like blatantly horrible, but I'm like, ah, like that's not even a thing for me anymore.
See, or, that's why I don't read books, so I won't cringe.
Well, and you have to like be okay with that. I don't listen to our old podcasts. I don't, and not in a denial way, but
it's not where we are anymore.
It's not where we are. And here's the crazy thing, Dawn. There are some things I was probably very certain about a year ago that I'm no longer certain about today. So it's not linear development. It's this kind of development. Like, it's like this really rickety path. And sometimes you go linear for a while and you're like, wow. And then all of a sudden you get your ass kicked and you're back down at the beginning. But you have different tools to, meaning it's not like you're down at the beginning and you start all over. It just means sometimes we think we're so right. That's where people get really righteous about their information.
Yes.
And then we're like, oh, wait a second. This worked here, but not here.
See, I feel like, and then I want to go back to Dawn. I feel like it's a paradox. It's gray. It's not black or it's white. Because there's a part of Brené said something about boundaries that triggered Dawn. And Dawn, I think, has something to learn from that trigger. While at the exact same time, whatever Brené is saying to her, for whatever reason, isn't in alignment. And Dawn and we all need to stand inside of our own intuition and say, you know what? This doesn't work for me. So it's both, what can I learn from this and why is it triggering me? Well, at the same time, like, you know what, Brené, this one, you're wrong and I'm right, because my intuition says that I don't want to do whatever it is that you're teaching me to do.
And Brené, in that moment in time when she wrote that book, was not wrong. Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing. Like, we think, Todd and I had this discussion this morning. We think that there's an ultimate way of being and that we're on this path and that we just need to reach this place where we like, I have it all understood. And the thing is that's not the way things work out. And Brené Brown, for as famous as she is, she doesn't have all the answers for everybody. But she has an amazing ability to give words that allow us to find our answers. Mm-hmm. But if you disagree with her, it doesn't mean she's wrong or you're wrong. It means on that path, I'm not quite with you on that yet. Or I've evolved past that thinking. Or that may work for me next year, but not this year. Mm-hmm. So it's not a right or wrong. And I think that that is why the discussion we were having this morning was about, I've, you know, fandom or like being like, I'm going to follow this person or this person's my guru or I'm going to do whatever this person says. It's a mistake, which is unfortunate because it's easier to be like, I do what this doctor says or I do what this person says. But there's no way that person's life experience can match up with yours. The challenge of self-awareness is taking in new information while staying attuned to your experience and knowing that your experience this year may be different than it is next year.
Or this moment, and it may be different next moment.
Right. Which can be really unsettling. Like, I know people don't like that. Like, I don't like it. Well, I just want to know stuff.
Well, and
I want to be done.
I know.
I want to know.
I know. We haven't talked to a group of people in a few months, but my new last line is going to be something to the effect of, And by the way, forget everything we just said and trust your gut, because we don't know you and your kids. Only you know you and your kids. Take whatever good came from this talk and then discard the rest, because we could be advising a parent to do one thing, and in their example, it might be the best thing might be the opposite of whatever it was that we just said.
And even though then that makes everyone say, well, why am I listening to anybody? It's because you have to buffer up against something to hear yourself. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? Like you have to, if we live in isolation and say, I'm only going to do what I think is best, or I'm going to live by what my parents did and I'm not going to grow, then there's nothing. But if you go out in the world and you say, I'm going to have somebody else tell me what to do because I don't want responsibility. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have somebody else tell me what to do. That's not healthy. So the middle ground is what Todd said, which is listen to some things. And if it resonates, then you're like, okay, that is making resonation means there's something you already know that you're hearing again that is like causing you to kind of be interested. When something makes you go like you did in that chapter with Brené, where you go, oh, I'm just like, oh, like Todd said, and like you already said, Dawn, it's something that you're struggling with.
But you're not wrong.
You're not wrong, though.
You're not wrong to be like, oh, this doesn't fit. So anyway.
Because it may not in your situation. And why I brought up that Brené would probably, it right now in 2019, I'm willing to bet she would say, oh, that was when the kids were little. I don't even remember that time. Mm-hmm. Like we all evolve. Like there are things that people bring up to Todd and I about, well, you said on the show that you would blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, like 8 years ago. Like, I don't mean I didn't mean it then. I just mean either I've learned so much, or that was because of a certain age or a period of time. There's so much changing, which is why things like dogma or I'm only into this author or this doctor is not in our best interest. But to your, like, just so everybody knows, this can be uncomfortable because then we feel untethered. Like if we're following one person or one idea, we're like, this is why when conscious parenting, when Shefali's book blew up a couple of years ago, we made a very conscious decision to not say we're conscious parenting people. Not because we're not, but because people hold on to a tagline and then everybody's like, that's what you are. And then there's no room for us to be like, well, in some situations we're very literal mm-hmm. and very black and white. And then some situations you just have to show up as a human. And in some situations you need to be super conscious. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to be like, you know, the attachment parenting, the mindful parenting. It's all of it. And it changes depending on the situation.
What do you think, Dawn?
I love it. That was exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. When you said it's a paradox, that's when I was like, oh yeah. Right. And the thing about resonating, I think as well, I think in addition to I felt like she was my mom, I also felt like I was back in church. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was bringing up some stuff with that for me too. And you weren't allowed, everything had to resonate with you. It wasn't okay to think differently about anything. So maybe that's what it was too. I felt differently about this person who's held in such high regard. And I was like, first time I'm listening to her and I don't like something she says.
Yes.
Yeah, and I did think, what's wrong with me?
She's giving you an opportunity for you to stand in your warrior and say, you know what? This doesn't work for me. Instead of be like, oh, I must be wrong and Brené's right. Like, screw that. Screw Brené. Screw me. Screw her. Screw every book you ever heard and stand in your warrior.
I'm going through something similar right now, and I've gone through it. This is probably my 820th time where I always am like, but shouldn't I want this or shouldn't I? And that is just really old patterning. And here's the intricacies, Dawn. This is where you know you're getting really like into like, oh my God, I'm seeing this self-awareness so clearly, is you realize, see what we do, old school is what we do, is we read something, it bugs me, it feels like church, we're like disregarding it, and then we disregard the person, their ideas, mm-hmm. their Netflix special, we say, I don't like that person. The intricacy is, this part didn't resonate with me, I don't hear this, if it's because it was old, or if it's because it's something I'm working on, or because it just, bottom line, doesn't resonate, but she's still good at what she does. Mm-hmm. That's the place where it's like baby in the bathwater, right? There's a lot of ideas that we throw out and we say, that's just horrible. When truth, there's everything has purpose, but it's like I think I say this on every show. We are a black and white dichotomy society where we say you're either good or bad. And we struggle with that in between, but life is only the in between. Mm-hmm. There are very few things that are black and white. Mm-hmm. I, people could say, well, what about this? What about this? Okay. But we could also play the game of how it's not, you know, but it leaves us a little untethered.
Well, it's so funny. Like, and you know, this is the last thing I'll say, I guess, and then we'll go to the next question. But when I was huge into Eckhart Tolle and I read A New Earth and I did the Oprah thing and it was so wonderful and powerful and my life changed because of that book in the best way. And I was talking to my friend named Gordon and he's like, yeah, I read that book. It's all crap. And I remember being so mad at him. Like, don't you dare. Cause like him, Gordon wasn't saying anything about me, but I took it so personally. You know what I mean?
I do. it happens to me all the time.
So, you know, it's just funny when like somebody like, you know, and that's like one person removed. That's Eckhart. Like, if Gordon is like attacking me, that's one thing, but he wasn't even attacking me. He was attacking somebody that I happen to hold in high regard. It's just so funny how we just take everything personally. Anyways, hopefully that helped, Dawn. Awesome. All right. So we're going to go to Jacqueline and then to Jennifer. First, I want to say to Jacqueline, where's Matt?
I know. Well, I think Jennifer was first. I don't want to monopolize. I think she might have. Was I first? I thought I was coming.
She's given us an okay. So we'll go to you first, and then we'll go to Jennifer second.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a good question. Matt couldn't. He's in the building with me here at work, but he must be in a meeting or getting something done. So I'll tell him that you were asking about it. He might show up still. He's got half an hour till the end, so okay. He might show up and be able to give you a wave. In fact, I have this question. It's more of a kind of similar to Dawn looking for reassurance on something I'm kind of feeling. And I said to Matt, I was like, oh, I don't know. Is it Team Zen worthy? He said, every question is Team Zen worthy.
That's why Matt's awesome.
And just a quick anecdote of me this past weekend, I had this ridiculous dream that lasted. I kept like falling back asleep and having the same dream and waking up and being like, whoa. And then it went on all night and it was, it's embarrassing almost to say, but I was kicked out of Team Zen for like,
no,
it's a nightmare.
I know it was a nightmare. That's a very good way to describe it.
The fact that anybody's having dreams about Team Zen is just very weird.
We will never kick you out.
I didn't think so. It's just so funny because like, you know, I haven't asked questions that much anyway. And I remember in the dream, I'm thinking, what did I do wrong, Todd? Like, I don't even ask that many questions. I don't understand. I was so upset in this dream. Oh, I told Matt in the morning and we laughed about it. But yeah, so that's what's going on. So my question, and again, more seeking reassurance. So Madeline is, she's nearly four. And I asked a question about her back when we first joined about her behaviors and everything. And, you know, it's not about that right now. It's about her, I guess I'll call it an obsession with wearing a costume. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've thought this through a lot because it's been going on for months and I'm like, what would Todd and Kathy say? You know, they'd probably say like, go with it. Like it's totally fine, support her. So I'm curious to hear if that's the case. But so basically, she went through a period of this when she was two before turning three. And then it's an Elsa dress, and then the Elsa dress got dropped and kind of we moved on throughout the summer, which is good because summer's hot and you don't want to be wearing costumes over top of things and polyester and all that. So that was good. But then Halloween came around this past Halloween and she wore a Sky costume from Paw Patrol. Mm-hmm. And then she started wanting to wear the Sky costume every day over top of her clothes to daycare. And we were okay with it. And then the Elsa dress reemerged and she started wearing that more. And so it basically since Halloween, it's been costume, not every day, but most days. And certainly when she goes to daycare, it's almost like it's her armor or something. Mm-hmm. That she wears. But it becomes an issue if like, what if it's not clean? Like I didn't get a chance to do the laundry every single day and it's got stuff all over it or even deeper than that, I get concerned that she's not comfortable in her own skin and feels like she needs to be something else. And there's this other little girl at daycare that I think they have similar tendencies to kind of be like, hey, Madeline, look what I've got today or look what I'm wearing today. And she'll say the same thing her name's Aubrey. And so I worry that, like, is it, you know, is this an insecurity thing? Like, should I be saying something to support her? Like, you know, you can just be Madeline. And she says, well, I don't want to be Madeline. I want to be this. So, I guess looking for reassurance that just, you know, let her kind of take the lead on this. And she, you know, yeah, curious to hear what you
so,
say. It's a great question.
At the risk of answering a question with a question, what do you think you should do, Jacqueline?
Well, yeah, so we've been for months now letting her wear it. Like, basically, I either wash it if it's really dirty or if she's had an accident or something, or, you know, or just let her wear it if it's kind of got crud all over it, because it doesn't really matter. And it's been winter, so, you know, it's like not worried about the heat. But as we get, as it gets, as her reaction seems to be more provoked by this, first and foremost, this other little girl that she's like, is Aubrey going to be there today? And she goes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I'll say either yes or no, depending on the day. And she has to wear it. She has to wear the dress and have her hair in a braid and bring certain things. And I know it's like social stuff that, you know, we have to kind of figure our way through, but what do I think I should, I mean, up until now, it's been just let her take the lead on this and decide for herself what she wants to wear, providing it's safe. Like, safety isn't a concern. But I'm just worried, you know, that she is feeling not good enough in just as herself, just being herself. So, and I don't obviously want that for her, but I feel like I'm probably overthinking it because she's not quite four yet. And yeah.
Yeah. So I think that you know exactly what you're doing. And I think you made a story up in your head, as all of us parents do. You're probably parenting into the future a little bit. She's a four-year-old girl who likes to get dressed up in her favorite costume. So, and at the risk of oversimplifying it, my daughter loved to wear her jackets backwards to school, and she looked like an idiot. And I know wearing a jacket is different than a costume all day, but I basically let Skylar look like an idiot through preschool wearing her jackets backwards, because what do I care? Like, I don't know.
Well, there's a different way to view it. Like, Todd's right and you're right, Jacqueline, but there's a few things that I can do because you're asking for reassurance. And there's a few things I can tell you that'll make you feel like, okay, I feel grounded in this idea. First of all, kids her age, especially 3, 4, 5, 6, they really need to try on different personas. This is when they're developing their personality and their character, and they have to try on all sorts of different things. They have to try on a villain. They have to try on a hero. They have to try on a really feminine figure. They have to try on, you know, the helper, the friend, and that's exactly what they're supposed to be doing. It could be, I wrote about that it was really uncomfortable with my oldest daughter when she enjoyed being the villain for a while, because I'm like, don't be the villain. You know, be the good person, be the one. And I didn't realize what I didn't realize at the time, and I was able to work through, was they have to play is a big part of learning at her age. Like, they don't learn through lecture, they don't learn through worksheets. She's got to play it out in her body, in her skin. And the truth is that the Paw Patrol character and Elsa has something, and it could be what it has is Aubrey's approval, you know, but there's something they have that makes her feel more comfortable in her skin. And that's not a problem, because we all do that as adults. As parents, we like to say to our kids, just be happy being you. You need nothing else but you. And then you have to think about yourself. Do you feel that way all the time? Mm-hmm. Because I know sometimes I need to, you know, get my hair cut, and I need to go somewhere with a person because it makes me feel stronger. I need to get Todd's advice before I move forward. And we want our kids to be something that's beyond human. And again, you're not alone, Jacqueline. Everybody asks these kind of questions, and I even do with my own kids. Like, shouldn't they just be comfortable in their skin? And no, she shouldn't at four. She's learning how to be comfortable in her skin. When kids get older and adults, I think that's why people get tattoos, because they want something on them that reminds them, I've got this. And there's something, like, if you want to enjoy this experience with her rather than worry, I would start for fun, not to analyze her, not to discredit her or anything, but I would ask her questions like, when you wear the Paw Patrol, what does it pull up in you? Hmm. Not what does it give you, because she already has it, but what is that, when you wear Paw Patrol, what do you feel? And like, when she tells you, maybe give her something like, yeah, when I wear these certain shoes, I feel that way too. Like, it's not about the external making us that. It's sometimes the external helps remind us. Like, how many of you have a tattoo that says something that reminds you of who you are? Do any of you have tattoos?
Anybody painted here?
Yeah. So if you don't have a tattoo, you know someone who does, right? And so why do they do that? Because it's like, remember to breathe. Or Todd's sister has mom, you know, so she pulls up her mom. My sister has a symbol of balance. You know, my brother, you know, like we all have these things. And when they're little, it's not tattoos, it's a Paw Patrol costume. And so what you can help her understand right now is, or help her talk about, is when you wear Elsa, how what does that bring out in you? And so that's the only correction with language, is not what does it give you, but what does it bring out? I'm correcting my own language, not yours, Jacqueline, but you can kind of have fun with it and let her know that that is pretty typical. I mean, I don't know a kid who doesn't go through phases where they wear costumes. All three of our girls wore costumes all the time. We used to have a bin up here. Do you remember the red bin?
Yeah, it was a big Tupperware thing.
It had all the costumes, all the like Alice in Wonderland and Cinderella, and there was there was Nemo. Like, not all of them were princesses. And sometimes they just put them on and wore them all day. And yeah, it went on for years.
So I'm going to take it one, maybe, I don't know if it's deeper is the word, but I'm going to challenge you a little bit, Jacqueline. Jacqueline. I'm challenging Jacqueline.
All right.
Because if not, I'll kick her off of Team Zen.
He won't. That's why I'm like, don't challenge her. She just had this dream.
Here's the thing.
Because you already said, what do you think?
No, I know. But when you say that you're coming up with a story, like, does she feel comfortable in her own skin? I would turn that around on yourself. And everything that annoys me about my kids, there's a part of me in there. So
that's true.
Instead of trying to fix your daughter, what's her name? Madeline. Yeah. Madeline, use Madeline as an excuse for you to look in the mirror and say, where am I not comfortable in my own skin? And, you know, that's kind of a cheap answer for me to kind of challenge you with, but I do think that there's something there.
Or when we are looking at our children and saying, I wish she was more confident, or what will this mean? Todd's right. We can really take a moment and say, how can I be more confident? Because remember, you can't talk them into confidence. You can only do it yourself, mm-hmm, demonstrate it, and then when they bring it up or when you have a conversation, relate to it. Because a lot of times as parents, we think we're supposed to. So if a kid's like, do you ever feel uncomfortable? If we play the game of, no, why would you feel uncomfortable? Have fun. Then they're like, oh, okay. So this feeling isn't normal. Versus when we're self-aware, when our kid is like, I feel better if I'm wearing the Elsa dress. I feel more powerful. I feel like I have power in my hands. I feel like I can like make, you know, she's being a character, that we can say, oh, I know that feeling. Sometimes I really want to like, you know, we can relate to it. Because I can relate to it. I want to put on Elsa's dress today. I want that kind of like power, like where we like, you know, have something so special about us. Like, that's a great, I get why a kid would want to feel that way. Cause I want to feel that way. You got to buy me an Elsa dress, Todd.
Jacqueline, what do you think?
I just have to say, when you guys, I've heard you both now repeat my words of comfortable in her own skin. And I had this image of her buck naked running around the house laughing. Of course she's comfortable in her own skin.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's just the reassurance I was looking for. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for asking the question.
Yeah, it was
Jacqueline.
A good one. It was really good.
Appreciate it.
Good for all of us.
Heading over to my good friend, Jennifer. And before Jennifer goes, we started talking about like 3 weeks after the conference, we started talking about the things that we most miss about the conference, and our daughter Skylar said that she misses Jennifer.
Yes. She's like, we're really going to miss her. She lives far away.
Yes.
It was a big problem for Skylar.
That's true. So anyway.
Oh my gosh. She warms my heart so much. I mean, and I forget what her friend's name was.
May.
Oh my gosh. It was like, we'd been friends for our entire lives, and just brought out the kid in me. And oh, I hated saying goodbye because it was like they were really into me, and I was like,
yes.
Oh my gosh, I'm like so excited that these kids like me.
Jen, they were like,
I'll take love wherever I can get it.
Yeah. That she gets us.
She's like, she gets us. I'm like, yeah. And so just for a reference, May is my best friend's daughter. So my best friend has two daughters, and one of them is best friends with my middle daughter, and May and Skylar are best friends. So we didn't do it on purpose. We didn't push
force feed it.
But anyway, go ahead, right. Jen.
But it's cool it worked out that way. And oh my gosh, Skylar, she is just, I mean, she just exudes so much love and so much excitement about life. I mean, it's, yeah, I was like, oh my God, people are going to think I'm like some creepy stalker person because we were like in the photo booth taking all these pictures, and then I'm like talking to them in the restaurant. But, you know, I think probably my greatest gift is my ability to connect with kids. Yes. I feel like, you know, a little kid could walk into the room and they'll just spot me and come over and like put a hand on me. Like there's something about me and kids. I don't know. It probably has a lot to do with
it's a wonderful quality.
Not having a mom and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But anyway, so love her and thank you for telling me that story. And please tell her I miss her and May very much.
Oh.
And I can't wait till next year.
I know.
We'll just do it again. Okay, so I guess my question is, I'll say my question and then I'll give the background. My question is, what's the best way to keep yourself from going down a really bad path in terms of like a lot of shame and kind of, I guess, self-loathing? And I mean, I'm in therapy. I deal with a lot of this stuff. And by the way, so my tattoo, I actually just got, and I don't know that you guys can really see it, but my dad died when I was 18, so it'll be 30 years since he died.
Oh,
and
wow.
He loved smiley faces, so I did a smiley face, and then it says, love, dad. That's his signature. Yeah. So I'd never gotten a tattoo before, and then after Vinny moved out, I just wanted to do something just for me, and something that I knew that his family would be very judgmental about. So I think that's why I never did it before, because I was afraid, you know, that they were going to react and judge me and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know what, screw it, I'm doing it. And it makes me so happy.
Awesome.
So anyone who's thinking of getting one, I'm addicted now. I want more.
Yeah.
So I guess, so to explain kind of what is going on. So Vinny moved out about 3 months ago, and it was super, super hard at first. I missed the kids so much, and I had a really hard time. And the good news is that I don't like being away from the kids, but I am starting to embrace the time away from them and to utilize it, like to get my tattoo and to watch like Brene Brown's Netflix special and like things like that. Mm-hmm. But now that, and the really good news is that the three boys have all adjusted really well. Like I'm not saying they're unscathed, you know, they obviously would want us all to be back together, but they seamlessly transition from one place to the other. The other day, my older son's funny because he's almost 17 and he's like, Mom, your relationship with dad really doesn't affect me at all. I really don't care. I just need to know whose house I'm supposed to be at when, and that's all I care.
Oh.
So yeah, I'm like, all right, well, that's good, I guess. and my little guys, they said the other day that they feel good now because both places feel like home. Mm-hmm. And I had said to them, you know, it's the same love. You just have two houses and you'll feel the same love in both places. So they offered that up the other day that they feel really loved in both places. So all that's good. The bad part is now that I've adjusted to this new schedule and everything, I am getting really scared about the future and when the divorce actually goes through. And because I've been a stay-at-home mom for 17 years, transitioning back into the workforce and trying to figure out how, like, obviously there's legal things. I'm going to get alimony and child support and all that. Like, I know that from a rational perspective, but having been dependent on Vinny financially for all of these years, it didn't bother me before, but now I'm starting, a lot of fear is creeping up. And I had like a little celebration the other night. I invited all my girlfriends together to just say, like, when we go out to dinner, I really need like some hugs and some love and some support. So we all got together. And as I was looking around the table, it actually made me feel really bad because every single one of them either has a part-time or a full-time job and raises their kids. And they're women I admire so much as moms. And I just started feeling like a really big loser. And even though I know that all I ever wanted to do was be a mom and be home full time, you know, obviously as society, you know, we don't value that as much. And even though I value it in my own heart, I now feel like, you know, there's all this pressure to get a job as if like nothing I've done so far is a real job. So I'm just really struggling with how to, I feel so overwhelmed by everything going on. And I really want to take some time to step back and figure out what I want to do and how I want to do it. But, you know, I have a lot of medical conditions and I need health insurance. Like, I can't do without that. So when Vinny and I get divorced, you know, obviously that could be part of the settlement that he has to pay for my health insurance. But I was thinking about the podcast from Tuesday and how things really work against women, because as soon as the divorce decree goes through, 30 days after that, I'm kicked off of Vinny's insurance. And it feels so unfair because it's like, well, I've raised these kids and I've worked really hard. And now, you know, we either have to endure this really big expense for me to have personal insurance, or I have to get a full-time job with benefits. And Jake and Andrew are just starting middle school next year. And, you know, Vinny and I are still working through scheduling and like this summer doing vacation separately with the kids. So I feel so overwhelmed by so many things. And I actually, it's kind of funny because I did get 2 job offers. But I don't know that I want to take a job right now because I don't feel ready. But then I feel like it seems like I'm like, you know, riding some kind of gravy train, and why am I not working? And so anyway, that's kind of I don't even know if any of that made sense, but I just feel I'm having a hard time feeling good enough. And so I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that. Oh. And sorry, I'm like always crying when I'm on the calls lately.
Okay, honey. It's all right.
When you cry, you're creating space for something else to happen. So I invite you not to apologize for crying. And the reason thing, it feels unfair that you get kicked off of your about to be ex-husband's insurance is because it is unfair. Like, the system is not set up for divorcing women to succeed. So I'm sure Kathy has a lot of different thoughts, but and then one other thing before I say whatever it is I'm about to say is, you know, you said that your kids wish that that it'd be better if you were all together. I just want to like remind you that that's not true, because there's a reason that you guys split up, and your kids deserve to be, to have all of mom and her potential happiness and contentment. And mom's not going to be content and happy being married to a guy that you've disconnected from. So I just want to remind you that there's purpose behind this separation, and your kids are going to be stronger as a result of it because they deserve to have it. I say that because I kind of get triggered a little bit because my parents stayed together when they shouldn't have been, and it kind of effed me up, and I'm still kind of unraveling that ball. So you did your kids a wonderful service when you decided to stand up for what you thought was the best thing. So that's my opening.
I have like a few different things. I kind of went all over the place because your first question was, how do I handle it when I go down a shame path with my thinking? So I'm going to talk about this in a spiritual way, and then I'll go to the more practical part. I was listening to a podcast this morning, and she was talking about a triathlete that she talked to, and everyone would always say to the triathlete, how do you keep doing it? How do you keep going? And he said, because I talk to myself more than I listen to myself. And what he meant by that was that we have our autopilot is a very baseline kind of really close to the amygdala thinking, which is a very fear-based, as Todd would say, below the line, how do I survive thinking? And if we don't use our prefrontal cortex and it thinks for us, we're going to be in fear all the time because that's where our default is to keep us from it getting hit by buses. Like that's our survival mechanism. So what he was saying is that when your thoughts come up, it does necessitate, it's so much easier to go, oh, my thoughts. What really we need energy for is to say, yep, there, you can't stop the thoughts. We all know this, right? But to use your prefrontal cortex and say, I hear you, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. And you can even say it out loud. I talk to myself all the time. And then when you do go down the rabbit hole because you're just tired and you're crying and you're feeling it all, that's okay. You're not going to live down the rabbit hole. You just went down there for a little bit and you're going to poke your head out. One time my rabbit got stuck under our house in the piping system and I thought he was lost forever and he wasn't. His head poked back up through the pipe.
And just, she's not speaking metaphorically. She's talking literally about a real rabbit.
But I think about that when I think about going down a rabbit hole, that even in the bottom, the pipes of our house, and I thought this rabbit's gone. We're going to have to like go down there and find this poor thing. And it eventually popped its head up. We can all do that. So you've got to, nobody's going to do it for you. We have to talk to ourselves and say, yep, that's fear. That's normal. Liz Gilbert really helped me with understanding fear, and I'll send you guys something in the notes around that. And then the more practical part is there's an apples and oranges thing that you're doing right now, especially with your friends who are working and you're looking around the table and they all work part-time or full-time, and you're comparing yourself to them when you haven't even gotten there yet, meaning it's apples and oranges. You're like, wow, they're all working and they're all doing this. And you're comparing, it's like saying, wow, Todd's a man and I should be a man. Like that's not where it's like two different things. When you start working, whenever that may be, and I would give you the advice that maybe you can give yourself a little space and rather than think about, I need to have a job now, say to yourself, after the summer is when I'm going to accept a job or I'm going to like, set a goal for yourself. Don't let anybody else tell you when it is and say, this makes the most sense financially, emotionally, and then let yourself have some space so you don't wake up every day thinking I should have a job. Do you know what I mean? if you're like, you know what, I need money in a month, then say a month from now or whenever the divorce goes through, like there is some practicality. I understand that there are some pieces of like, you need to have your insurance or you want to be working or you want to get started. But you don't need to think about it every day. You can put some space and time between that happens then. So then when you're at a dinner with your friends, you can allow them to support you where you are rather than where you think you're supposed to be. Because you're not supposed to be there yet. That's like being on vacation. And
there is no supposed to.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're supposed to be in a different country than the one you're in.
Like, and check your own language. If you find yourself using the word should, I should go back to work because that's what the society or my girlfriends or my about-to-be ex-husband thinks I should do. I would just, you know, use the language that you even say inside your head and question it, get curious about it. Because, you know, in the minute that you try to, like, prevent yourself, I wrote this down when you first started. What's the best way to keep yourself from going down the bad path? You know, there's a part of me, and this might be esoteric, but the minute that you try not to go somewhere, you're more likely to go there. So when you find yourself going down there, can you accept yourself when you're going down there? Because that will kind of bring you out of it quicker than I ought not to be at this place. You know, Kathy talked about Liz Gilbert. One of my favorite teachers with this type of stuff is Jeff Foster. He wrote a book called radical acceptance, awakening in ordinary life, or something like that. I don't know if either of those two teachers, like, I would love to give you a resource to kind of go to after this Zen talk, whether it be through a book or just Googling YouTube Jeff Foster or YouTube Liz Gilbert. Is there something specific about Liz that
you... Well, she just writes a lot about fear and about how fear is in us all the time for good reason. We don't have to get rid of fear. We just need to be able to talk to fear so fear isn't always driving the car. I'm sure maybe some of you have heard her talk about this before, but if not, I will send the post that she wrote about it, because fear is purposeful, but too often we let fear direct our choices. So it's not as if the fear needs to, anytime we're like, I'm going to be fearless or fear's going to go away or I'm not going to have any fear. Of course you are, because that's part of being human. We need that to stay healthy. I would say, because I think that, and again, I don't want to compare and be like, I'm more like Jen, but I think Todd, you feelings wise, you don't go down rabbit holes. So this is hard to,
correct.
Todd can more easier say, well, I'm just going to feel that feeling because he wants to so much. For those of you who maybe are feeling like Jen or like I talk about on the show, where sometimes feelings are really overwhelming to me, one thing I do to manage that is there is a podcast. So I'm going to give you another resource. Her name is Brooke Castillo. She has a podcast called The Life Coach School. And she is so different than me. She is much more of a life coach, like think differently, Kathy. Pull it together, Kathy. And I don't have any desire to be Brooke, but there's something, it's kind of like wearing an Elsa costume. She gives me a little bit of, so I can peek my head out of the rabbit hole. So I'm like, okay, you know? And so because if I stay in spiritual and stay in the emotion, then I can't get access to my prefrontal cortex. And Brooke Castillo happened to have a podcast today talking about this very thing, Jen, is like when you are having these thoughts about shame or like self, you know, you're not appreciating yourself, you need to do this, you need to do this. You know, it's like because she's a woman, it doesn't come off as real preachy. Like it's not like Tony Robbins where it's like, do this, do this. It's like, it's a little more like you can do it, but you will, if you listen to her, you'll be like, yeah, she's very different than me. Like she, you know, she's very much into the money and the success and she's making $1 million. And I don't really need that, but I like the, she's just a badass girl. It's why I like Amy Schumer. It's why I like Sarah Silverman. It's why I like, who else do I like that? Lady Gaga. It's why I like Madonna. Like I need those energies in my life to get my ass up, mm-hmm. You know? Because I will wallow in the emotion because that's my most resonant place. And I need these women who say, I'm getting up. You know, Jacqueline Kennedy, I think about her a lot. I think about, you know, what she went through and how she kept going. Like I pull energy from these people.
Yeah.
So we're not alone because we're all sharing this energy. You know, we don't have to get it from them. They just like the Elsa dress, they remind us that we have it. Mm. Okay. So you just have to, and if you go down the rabbit hole, you'll be all right. You'll come back up. Look at where you've come, Jen. Mm-hmm. Look where you are. Mm-hmm. Look at all the things you've walked through. Mm-hmm. So when it comes up again, you're going to say, yes, I have to walk through this again.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be, but you'll do it.
Yeah. And I think you're okay with me sharing this, Jennifer, but you have had some significant issues with your mom. You are, you're going through a divorce, which is not an easy thing. And you're still standing. You're still here.
You're doing it.
Like you can do this.
Yep. Maybe make a little vision board of women that remind you, keep getting up, keep getting up. Cause sometimes we, and you know, this is the paradox, like that Dawn and that I was talking about with Dawn is those aren't the people that I necessarily resonate with all the time. But there are times I need them. I need to be more like Madonna. She's not I just need to remember, screw this. I can do this.
Well, in the intuition, sometimes I talk to fifth grade boys about, the masculinity and we have to be so tough. And then I talk about the softer side of boyhood. And I'm not demonizing either one.
Right.
Sometimes... And I'm trying to actually convince them to be more soft because all they do is show their hardness. But there's times when you do need to
warrior
go into your warrior, and there's times when you need to be soft. And the intuition comes from Kathy knows that there's time when she needs to pull Lady Gaga energy up. And then there's times when she needs to just get soft
and sad and cry
and accept the isness of the situation. And there's other times you're like, I do not accept the isness of the situation. I'm going to change it right freaking now. So anyways, what are your thoughts, Jennifer?
Well, I really like the idea of trying to talk my way out of the bad thinking. One of the speakers, it may have been the Yoga Nidra lady, I forget her name, but she, when she gave her speech, she said something like, she called it the itty bitty shitty committee in our head. And I think about that. I have a very, very powerful committee in my head. And I liked the idea of being okay with kind of giving myself space. I think right now, so much of my fear is because I feel that pressure. I feel that pressure that I have to, you know, shift from one thing to another quickly. And I really don't have to do that. And I actually had a massage from a Reiki lady the other day. One of my friends gave it to me as a birthday present, which was really lovely. And kind of what you said, Kathy, about being so sensitive, she said, as soon as I walked in the door and sat down, she goes, "Oof, you brought the whole world into this mm-hmm. room with you." And she told me at the end that I have to practice breathing and saying no as a complete sentence and not having to justify it and feel like I have to explain everything to everyone. And I think that's kind of how I feel right now. I feel like I feel this pressure to justify like that I need to take this time. And I feel like that's, you know, it's the great thing is we stayed in marriage counseling. So the marriage counselor really, she's very neutral, but she's also very protective of me and my emotional state. Because Vinny comes in and he's very matter of fact. And he's very like, we're blowing through our savings and we're, you know, we can only do this for so long and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I, of course, get really small and feel really shame filled. And she helps me a lot, like to, you know, she takes a break and she, you know, redirects things. And she's like, this isn't helpful. This isn't a place we should go. So I feel good about having her on my side, because I think that if we had stopped doing it, I would feel really even more scared than I do. So I think that, you know, knowing that taking the summer, I think, is a good idea. And, you know, all my kids are home for the summer. They don't even do like camps and stuff. They just run around. I think the biggest thing for me is knowing that, you know, hearing you say like, there's nothing wrong with me and that I am good enough, because I really am having a hard time believing that. So thank you very much. Yes,
absolutely.
You little sweetheart.
Absolutely. Self-worth is, you know, for everybody on here, like it's, I love that I love the questions that have been asked, because they always thread together in my mind. And, you know, I really think we all need, you know, I'll just go back to Jacqueline's question about, you know, Elsa or Paw Patrol or what my girls put on or tattoos. Like, we all need that. Like, and we don't have to get the tattoo, but there are days and times and moments and sometimes long extended periods where we don't feel worthy. And we are, no matter what, and we may know that rationally, but sometimes there's just a lot of old programming, or someone literally saying to us, you're not, or we read a book and we're like, I don't find myself in here, therefore I must not be right. And that is the human condition. That's not a Jen thing or a Madeline thing or, you know, a Dawn thing or a Kathy thing. That's a human condition. And the self-awareness is the practice of recognizing the human condition and seeing if we can figure out how to, through many different methods, how to recognize what's true. And when I say what's true, meaning that we're here now, that we have this time on earth, can we see the beauty? Can we enjoy the moments? All the other stuff is still real. We still have to make money. Things are hard, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not that we disregard it, but can we focus on what's true? And because true, I mean that not just in truth, but like what's true to us like what we feel
our,
is true.
Our truth.
Like one of my favorite things is when, you know, we get to heaven, and I'm just using this as a metaphor, you know, and I'm not talking about religion here, but the first question that God or whoever's there will ask us is they'll say, Kathy, why weren't you Kathy all the time? Like, why did you try and be this person and that person and that person? Why weren't you just Kathy? And I think about that whenever I'm trying to bob and weave and make everybody happy, is that's really, there's nobody else I'm supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be Todd. I'm not supposed to be you.
The lady that gave me the massage, she said to me, she said, you know, I don't know what you believe in spiritually. She said, but, you know, we're all born with a soul and that soul lives on forever. And she said, when our soul gets off the path that it's supposed to be on, you can have a lot of distress. Like I have depression and anxiety and ulcerative colitis and all these other things. And she said, you know, finding your way back on your path and your true self is so important. And I think that, you know, that was something that I really wanted to try to do after we got separated. And I actually bought that book that you guys talked about, Essentialism, to try to, you know, decide what is really essential to me and then make all decisions moving forward against that list. And, you know, I'm working on it, so I don't feel like I've completed it yet. And then I'm feeling like I have all this pressure to make decisions and I'm not ready to make them. So taking the time to get my soul back on the path, because I've never been myself. I know that in my entire life. I've never been me. Mm-hmm. So,
what a wonderful realization. What a wonderful gift that you're knowing that now as a, whatever, 30 or 40 year old, I don't know how old you are, but instead of when you were 60 or 70.
I'm 48.
Same as.
Well, no, I'm 47.
Not for long.
I know. I'll be 48 soon. I'll be there right there. With you,
John. Yeah. And everything that happened to you up until this point got to where you are, and where you are is where you're supposed to be. And now take these lessons and grow from it. And you're going to have ups and downs throughout. That's the way life is. But I feel like you're on a trajectory upward with a lot of zigzags in there. I mean, you're, and the fact that you asked for help from your girlfriends.
It's good.
Most women don't do that. I know most guys don't do that, but most women's like, oh no, buck up, figure it out yourself. I mean, that's what we tell ourselves in our brain. It's not what it is. We're a community. We're people. Stay connected. So
I forced myself to go to a divorced and separated support group meeting. And it was terrifying. And I was like, I felt like I was going to throw up the whole time. And I just kept planning my exit strategy. And I was like, okay, can I pretend I have to go to the bathroom? Can I, you know, if I go this way, can I be quiet? Can I, you know, avoid eye contact with the facilitator and everything? And then a few minutes later, these two women walked in and I was like, oh, I'm like, they kind of seem like I could be friends with them. And then afterwards I went up to them, I talked to them, and they were like the most loving people. They said, give us your phone number, let's have lunch tomorrow. And I made two friends of women who are divorced. So I am trying a lot of things. I just feel like I'm so fragile right now. And that's the part that really scares me. And so feeling the support from you guys and saying like, I don't have to rush it. I don't have to do anything, that I can do it under my timetable and when I'm ready for it, makes me feel really good. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So glad we could help. So we went a little over, but we also started a little late because I had computer issues. So you guys will have to wait to hear my big story about the beanbag game. Sorry, I'm going to deprive you of that. But Tuesday, June 4th, we're having our next Zen Talk, and it's not just going to be Kathy and I. It's going to be Gemma Hartley, I think. Isn't that right?
Yeah, Gemma, she's going to talk about emotional labor. So bring your questions. And if you can't be on the call with her, let us know what questions you have. She's actually going to be on our podcast
next week.
Monday.
Yeah. This Tuesday coming up, we already interviewed her and it was a good hour interview. And if you like Team Zen, you're going to love the interview. So that'll be our Tuesday podcast for Zen Parenting. The next Tuesday after this Tuesday will be when Gemma's on with us live. Mm-hmm. So make sure you get on that one. So that's it. Thank you to Dawn and to Jacqueline and to Jennifer and to everybody who didn't get a chance to ask a question. Sorry, Helen, we'll do it next time. And then to Nikki and Jennifer and Alyssa and Don Welda. and Mimi and Anita. So that's about it. So blessings, love, support. Happy Memorial Day. Happy weekend. You guys keep trucking. Take care.
Love you.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.